It's 3:30, and you're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore, your host today for Juneau Afternoon. My next guest is engaged in some interesting yoga-type therapy. Kathy Houston is an emotion code practitioner, and she's completed training with a Dr. Bradley Nelson, right?
Yes.
Who came up with the what he calls the body code and the emotion code.
Yes.
And so can you briefly explain how these two things work?
Sure. And although I have done yoga therapy in the past, this is different than yoga therapy. What emotion code is, which is the first level of training, is utilizing kinetic muscle testing, that's muscle strength, to get information from the subconscious mind, and we identify trapped emotions using kinetic muscle testing. When we identify the trapped emotion, very simply, we then take a magnet and move the magnet over the governing meridian line, which is like over the head or down the spine, and that pulls the frequency of that emotion out of your body.
You used a term when you described this right at the beginning.
Kinetic muscle testing.
Can you explain how you do that?
Yes, I would love to. So the idea is that only about 10% of our brain is conscious. 90% is subconscious, storing all our memories and also governing our body systems. We don't have to think about breathing or heart beating. All that stuff's just taken care of by our subconscious mind. So the subconscious mind's domain is the body. If something is true, our body will be strong. And if something is false, our body is weak. I have a friend that is a police officer, and he even says they've used this in their trainings and looking at body languages of people they're interrogating. So it's just kind of a universal understood rule and that's used in lots of different healing modalities, kinetic muscle testing. If something's true, we test strong. If something's false, our muscles are weak.
Have you undergone the therapies?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I actually got into this for myself. I had fibromyalgia symptoms, very severe, chronic pain, chronic headaches. And this was a tool that I got into for myself. And as I got into it, I discovered, wow, a lot of this pain is from trapped emotions. So the more I released these trapped emotions from myself, the less and less pain I have. To now, I'm pain-free, and when those headaches, if one does pop up, I just go to my body code chart and I see what's going on. Why am I getting this headache? And using that kinetic muscle testing, I have access to all this information, everything that my subconscious mind knows.
So if someone comes to you and undergoes the therapy, could you describe the process for the person that you're treating?
Yes, definitely. I always start out with a moment of silence where I connect in with Creator, with higher power, with source. And during that moment of silence, I say some words for the person I'm working with, and I also ask that I can muscle test for them. That's usually how I prefer to do it because not everyone's comfortable with muscle testing, or they might be at a distance. This is something that can be done all the way with someone on the other side of the world. So once that connection has been made with higher power and with my client, then let's say, for example, I have a client who is having health issues. I might ask a question, is my client okay with being healthy? And if it comes up weak, oh, my muscles are weak. No, they're not okay with being healthy. Then I'll look at my chart, my body code chart, and I'll say, well, is it one of the reasons on the right side of my chart or the left side? A reason such as an energy or a circuitry or issue or a toxicity or a pathogen or a misalignment or even nutritional reasons or lifestyle reasons. And then let's say it's an energy. There's an energy why this person is not comfortable with the idea of being healthy. And then we'll go into the energies, which could be an emotional energy. And then we'll just, let's say it was an emotional energy. We'll say, well, was it an emotion on column A or column B? I have a nice chart of emotions, A1, A2, A3, A4, A5, until I'm strong. And let's say I'm strong at A5. And then the emotions, is the emotion that's contributing to this not being okay with health? Is it blaming, dread, fear, or peeved? Oh, peeved. Let's say the person tests strong for peeved. Then I would say, well, do we need to know more? And sometimes no, sometimes yes. okay, was this peeved? At what age did it become stuck? Oh, we find out it became stuck at 10. Do we need to know more? Oh, 10. Oh, goodness. Is it related to a doctor's visit? Perhaps it is. And if that would all test strong, we only need to know enough for that person for it to be in their mind. So that's one of the benefits of it, is there's very little getting personal information. You have a trapped emotion of peeved at age 8. Do we need to know more? No. Once that information is identified, then we just take the magnet, and sometimes I do it down my client's back for them. Sometimes I do it over my own governing meridian line, just running the magnet from between my eyebrows and up over my head. And that's the way I would do it at a distance as well. So because of tuning in with higher power and then tuning in with that person, I can do this work for you if you're in Africa. I can do this work for you wherever you are, or I can do it side by side.
When I started looking in advance of the show to kind of get an understanding of what emotion code and body code were, I noticed a number of medical practitioners have basically said that there's probably no medical value to this entire practice.
You know, I'm not a medical doctor, and it is very good to kind of distinguish that. And I really am dealing with energies. It's the body's energies. And people can come to me with medical issues, but we're going to be dealing with the emotions that might be affecting a flare-up, or I don't seem to be getting better, or I still have anxiety. So it's really dealing with those emotional energies or other types of energies that are imbalancing to the body. And with the idea that when the body is free of those imbalancing energies, that its natural tendency, its natural birthright is healing. It's healing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not a medical doctor. That's very good, and I'm glad you clarified that. This is a technique used to communicate with subconscious mind to identify imbalancing energies and release them.
Okay, Kathy Houston, thank you very much. How do people get in contact with you if they're thinking of undertaking these therapies with you?
I can be reached at soothingresults@gmail.com, or I also have a website, soothingresults.com. And I can also be reached at 209-1801. And I have a lovely new office space above Harry's Plumbing by Harborview Elementary School.
Okay. So. Kathy Houston, who is an emotion code practitioner and a yoga therapist. Thank you.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 13th of June, 2014. It's the birthday of Dorothy L. Sayers, born in Oxford, 1893. She was one of the first women to graduate from Oxford with a degree in medieval literature. Her first two books were volumes of poetry, then her first mystery novel, Whose Body, 1923, featuring Lord Peter Wimsey, a witty aristocrat who solved mysteries as a hobby. She wrote 11 more novels featuring Lord Peter. It's the birthday of the novelist and diarist Frances Burney, born in Norfolk, England, 1752. She started keeping a diary when she was 16 years old and kept it up for over 70 years. Her father had some famous friends, so she wrote about them, Dr. Johnson, James Boswell, David Garrick, Sir Joshua Reynolds. She was a lady-in-waiting at the court of King George III and Queen Charlotte, so she wrote about the madness of the king. She married a French general, Alexandre d'Arblay, and thanks to him, she got a close look at the Battle of Waterloo and wrote about that. She also wrote about her own mastectomy, performed without any anesthesia except a single glass of wine. Her first published novel, Evelina, or The History of a Young Lady's Entrance into the World, 1778, a comedy of manners, was a great success, and she succeeded in making novel writing an acceptable thing for women to do, and inspired Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, which came along about 25 years later. It's the birthday of Yeats, William Butler Yeats, born in Dublin, 1865. He grew up in a Protestant family at a time when Ireland was an English
awareness behind it. And so I thank you for your big hearts.
Thank you for having us in today.
You bet. Celebration Day Parade will be this Saturday, June 14th. It's from 8 to 11:30 a.m. They'll be parading from the tramway terminal down to Centennial Hall. So that's why there will be all these people walking down the street on Saturday morning. So that's when you're out there, take a look. Heck, maybe you can even join in the parade. I'm not sure. Anyway, my next guest is here to tell us much about some programs that we've talked about on this show a couple of times. We're in the middle of, I think, sign up, or actually are you running programs right now for STEM?
We're actually starting our first Sea Perch camp starting on Monday.
So this is Bernadette Rosano, and you work with the science, technology,
engineering
and math, program. Okay.
Yep.
And this is part of the Juneau Economic Development Council's program. These
Correct.
Are science summer camps primarily aimed at kids of several ages. Yeah. So you've got all kinds of stuff running this summer.
Yeah, we do have a variety of camps available for kids. The Sea Perch seems to be a very popular one amongst the kids because they get to walk away with something that they've built from
scratch. Tell us a little bit about this. This is where you do the submarine, right?
Right. So the Sea Perch is part of underwater robotics, and we have three different robotics programs.
Mm-hmm.
And Sea Perch is fun because there's no programming required. You basically walk in, and if you can hold a hammer, you're good to go.
All right.
So we work with all different types of materials, PVC pipes. Kids learn how to work with tools correctly, such as screwdrivers, drills. They learn how to solder. If they've never soldered before, it's a good experience for them to get into the basic level of working with electronics and electricity. So it's all around a really great camp. And in the midst of it, you know, we're going to take breaks and make sure the kids really enjoy the experience and learn a little bit about some of the expeditions that NOAA has done in the course as well, because, I mean, it's just right outside their door, you know, this whole big laboratory, and it would be fun to kind of get an input as far as what's going on with them.
Well, Bernadette, now that just practically anybody can have their own flying drone, it's just not everybody who has a remote-controlled submarine that operates robotically.
Exactly.
So this puts you kind of in a unique class if you take this group.
It certainly does. And there's lots of paths you can take with it afterwards. You could, you know, put a camera on it so you could take it out to Twin Lakes or any one of the lakes around and kind of navigate the Sea Perch under the water and go home and check out what your Sea Perch actually saw, which is something kids just don't get exposed to enough, you know, getting really diving into the observations that they make themselves.
That was a terrible pun there.
It's true. You got me.
Okay. So, Bernadette, besides submarines, what else? There's a whole bunch of shows here going on.
We're also doing Lego League Robotics.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other section of robotics we have, where if kids have no experience with robotics at all, they can come in and take the beginning course. If they have a little bit of experience and they're really good with, you know, having fun with the robots and building different simple machines that help the robot navigate better, then they'd probably be in more of the advanced level. And they get to work with sensors, they get to do challenges and see how far they can really take the robot, which is kind of fun. Other camps that we've had in the past is the NOAA Sun to Sea Camp, which just happened, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really a neat camp.
How many kids finally showed up when you...
I think it was in the upwards of 14 to 16. I'm
okay.
Not sure exactly. But it was a great camp. They got to go on the boat and really get exposed to some of the stuff that NOAA does, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a good camp for kids that just want to peek their eyes into some of the science concepts that are out there. Other things that we do kitchen chemistry.
This was the one, this is kind of like the low-tech end of this thing.
Yeah.
All of this high-tech stuff, some people get a little bit scared of that. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's maybe
mm-hmm.
more than they want to try to do or something like that.
Right.
Tell me about kitchen chemistry.
Kitchen chemistry is great because you actually get to have fun with things that you would do in the kitchen. Instead of, you know, watching a show on Food Network and watching them make a really bon appetit sort of plate, you could do it yourself by learning a little bit about science at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you can make little juice balls, and it's called spherification. Sorry,
mm-hmm.
stumbling on my words, but spherification. And you take any kind of liquid and you drop it into a mixture, and it actually creates a ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of gastronomy, which is an up-and-coming sort of science concept in the food industry. And it's really taking the food that we see every single day, like, you know, burritos and all those different varieties, spaghetti, and capturing it into a different light. So you get the same great taste, but just different textures and different experience altogether.
Interesting. Fascinating. When are you going to offer that for adults?
We're working on it.
I might have to sign up. It might be a fascinating thing to do sometime.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there are still openings in some of the camps?
Correct.
And so if someone wants to join, how do they go about doing that?
If you want to sign up, the best thing you would do is go to stemak.org and click Summer Programs under the Kids section. And you'll have a complete list of all the programs that we offer, the dates, the age groups that we are targeting. And you can just click on the link, and it'll take you to registration for kitchen chemistry or for C-Perch. We still have the second week of C-Perch open, so that's a good one, too.
So, Bernadette, there's a fee for these programs, right?
Yes, there is.
Do you have any kind of scholarship assistance?
We do. If the students want to submit a scholarship application, we are more than welcome to receive them.
There's still some funds left in that.
And, yeah, we'll make the funds happen.
Good.
For sure.
Okay. So these are the STEM Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math programs that are sponsored by the Juneau Economic Development Council. You can contact them by going to the stemak.org page, stemak.org. Click the list of summer programs. There are still openings in some of these, and if you can take one that Bernadette is involved with, I can guarantee you that every time she's on this show, her enthusiasm just knocks me out. Thanks so much for telling us all this stuff,
thanks
and thanks for coming in.
All right.
Yep, see you later.
Take care.